I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue returns.
I'd like you to suggest song titles likely to prove popular in the bathroom.
Flush dance.
Can you feel the faucet?
50 ways to leave your loofah.
On BBC Radio 4.
It's just a game. We're having some fun, Andy. just calm down, all right?
Tomorrow evening at 6:30.
It's 9 o'clock, time now for Drama on Three. This week, Eugene O'Neill's Pulitzer Prize-winning play spread over the course of one day. It's set in Connecticut in New England in 1912 at the summer house of the Tyrone family.
Long Day's Journey Into Night by Eugene O'Neill. Adapted for radio by John Peacock. Starring Anastasia Hilly, Robert Glenister, Rupert Evans and Gwilym Lee.
You're a fine awful now, Mary, with those £20 you gave.
Oh, I've gotten too fat, you mean, dear. I really ought to reduce.
Oh, none of that, my lady. You're just right. We'll have no talk of reducing. Oh. Is that why you ate so little breakfast?
So little? I thought I ate a lot.
You didn't. Not as much as I'd like to see, anyway.
Oh, you expect everyone to eat the enormous breakfast you do. No one else in the world could without dying of indigestion.
I hope I'm not as big a glutton as that sounds. But thank God I've kept my appetite and I've the digestion of a young man of 20, if I am 65.
You certainly have, James. No one could deny that. Why did the boys stay in the dining room, I wonder? Oh, Kathleen must be waiting to clear the table.
It's a secret confab they don't want me to hear, I suppose. I bet they're cooking up some new scheme to touch the old man. There's nothing like the first after-breakfast cigar, if it's a good one. And this new lot have the right mellow flavor. They're a great bargain, too. I got them dead cheap. It was Mr. McGuire who put me onto them.
Oh, I hope he didn't put you onto any new piece of property at the same time. His real estate bargains don't work out so well.
I wouldn't say that, Mary. After all, he was the one who advised me to buy that place on Chestnut Street, and I made a quick turnover on it for a fine profit.
Yeah, I know. The famous one stroke of good luck. I'm sure McGuire never dreamed it. Never mind, James. I know it's a waste of breath trying to convince you you're not a cunning real estate speculator.
I've no such idea. But land is land, and it's safer than the stocks and bonds of Wall Street swindlers. But let's not argue about business this early in the morning.
James, it's Edmund you ought to scold for not eating enough. He hardly touched anything except coffee. He needs to eat to keep up his strength. I keep telling him, but he says he simply has no appetite. Well, of course, there's nothing takes away your appetite like a bad summer cold.
Yes, it's only natural. So don't let yourself get worried.
Oh, I'm not. I know he'll be all right in a few days if he takes care of himself. But it does seem a shame he should have to be sick right now.
Yes, it is bad luck. But you mustn't let it upset you, Mary. Remember, you've got to take care of yourself, too. Oh,
I'm not upset. There's nothing to be upset about. What makes you think I'm upset?
Why, nothing, except you've seemed a bit high-strung the past few days.
I have? Oh, nonsense, dear. It's your imagination. You really must not watch me all the time, James. I mean, it makes me self-conscious.
Now, Mary, that's your imagination. If I've watched you, it was to admire how fat and beautiful you looked.
Oh.
I can't tell you the deep happiness it gives me, darling, to see you as you've been since you came back to us.
Oh.
your dear old self again. So, keep up the good work, Mary.
Yes, I will, dear. Thank heavens the fog is gone. I do feel out of sorts this morning. I wasn't able to get much sleep with that awful foghorn going all night long.
Yes, yes, it's like having a sick whale in the backyard. It kept me awake, too.
Oh, did it? You had a strange way of showing your restlessness. You were snoring so hard I couldn't tell which was the foghorn. Oh, 10 foghorns can disturb you. You haven't a nerve in you. You never have.
Nonsense. You always exaggerate about my snoring.
Well, I couldn't. If you could only hear yourself once. Oh, what's the joke, I wonder?
Some joke of Jamie's, I'll wager. He's forever making sneering fun of somebody, that one.
Oh, good heavens. I'm going to stay in the dining room all day. Jamie! Edmund, come into the living room and give Kathleen a chance to clear the table.
We're coming, Mama.
You'd find excuses for him no matter what he did.
I've been teasing your father about his snoring. Well, I'll leave it to the boys, James. They must have heard you. No, not you, Jamie. I could hear you down the hall almost as bad as your father. You're like him. As soon as your head touches the pillow, you're off, and 10 foghorns couldn't wake you. Why are you staring at me, Jamie? Is my hair coming down? Oh, it's hard for me to do it up properly now. My eyes are getting so bad, and I never can find my glasses.
Your hair's all right, Mama. I was only thinking how well you look.
Just what I was telling her, Jamie. She's so fat and sassy, there'll soon be no holding her.
Yeah, you certainly look grand, Mama. I'll back you up about Papa's snoring. Gosh, what a racket.
Yeah, I heard him too. The more I know his trumpet.
If it takes my snoring to make you remember Shakespeare instead of the dope sheets on the ponies, I hope I'll keep on with it.
Oh, James, you mustn't be so touchy.
Yeah, for Pete's sake, Papa, the first thing after breakfast, give it a rest, can't you?
Your father wasn't finding fault with you. You don't have to always take Jamie's part. You'd think you were the one 10 years older.
What's all the fuss about? Let's forget it.
Yes, forget. Forget everything and face nothing. It's a convenient philosophy if you've no ambition in life except...
James, do be quiet. Oh, you must have gotten out of the wrong side of the bed this morning. Oh, what were you two grinning about like Cheshire cats when you came in? What was the joke?
Yes. Let us in on it, lads. I told your mother I knew damn well it would be one on me, but never mind that. I'm used to it.
Well, don't look at me. This is the kid's story.
I meant to tell you last night, Pepper, and I forgot it. Yesterday, when I went for a walk, I dropped in at the inn.
Oh, you shouldn't drink now, Edmund.
And who do you think I met there with a beautiful bun on but Shaughnessy, the tenant on that farm of yours?
That dreadful man, but he is funny.
He's not so funny when you're his landlord. He's a wily shanty mick, that one. He could hide behind the corkscrew. What's he complaining about now, Edmund?
No, he didn't beef about anything. He was so pleased with life, he even bought a drink, and that's practically unheard of. He was delighted because he'd had a fight with your friend Harker, the Standard Oil millionaire, and won a glorious victory.
Oh, Lord, James, you really have to do something.
Bad luck to Shaughnessy, anyway.
Go on with your story, Edmund.
Well, you remember, Papa, the ice pond in Harker's estate is right next to the farm? And you remember Shaughnessy keeps pigs? Well, it seems there's a break in the fence, and the pigs have been bathing in the millionaire's ice pond. And Harker's foreman told him he was sure Shaughnessy had broken the fence on purpose to give his pigs a free wallow.
Oh, good heavens.
I'm sure he did too, the dirty scallywag. It's like him.
So Harker came in person to rebuke Shaughnessy. A very bonehead play.
Yes, he'd be no match for Shaughnessy. What happened?
Harker had as much chance as I would with Jack Johnson. Shaughnessy got a few drinks under his belt and was waiting at the gate to welcome him. He told me he never gave Harker a chance to open his mouth. He began by shouting that he was no slave Standard Oil could trample
on. Oh, Lord.
Then he accused Harker of making his foreman break down the fence to entice the pigs into the ice pond in order to destroy them. The poor pigs, Shaughnessy yelled, had caught their death of cold. Many of them were dying of pneumonia, and several others had to be taken down with cholera from drinking the poison water. He told Harker he was hiring a lawyer to sue him for damages. And he wound up by saying that he had to put up with poison ivy, ticks, potato bugs, snakes, and skunks on his farm. But he was an honest man who drew the line somewhere. And he'd be damned if he'd stand for a Standard Oil thief trespassing. So would Harker kindly remove his dirty feet from the premises before he sicked the dog on him. And Harker did.
Oh, heavens, what a terrible tongue that man has.
The damned old scoundrel, my God, you can't beat him. The dirty blackguard. He'll get me in serious trouble yet. I hope you told him I'd be as mad as hell.
I told him you'd be tickled to death over the great Irish victory, and so you are. Stop faking, Pop.
Well, I'm not tickled to death.
Oh, you are too, James. You're simply delighted.
What are you laughing at? There's nothing funny. A fine son you are to help that blackguard get me into a lawsuit.
Now, James, don't lose your temper.
And you're worse than he is, Jamie. Oh. Encouraging him. I suppose you're regretting you weren't there to prompt Shaughnessy with a few nasty insults. You've a fine talent for that, if for nothing else.
James, there's no reason to scold Jamie.
For God's sake, Papa. If you're starting that stuff again, I'll beat it. I left my book upstairs anyway. God, Papa, I should think you'd get sick of hearing yourself.
Now you mustn't mind Edmund, James. Remember, he isn't well. Some cold can make anyone irritable.
It's not a cold he's got. The kid is damn sick.
Why do you say that? It is just a cold. Anyone can tell that. You always imagine things.
All Jamie meant was Edmund might have a touch of something else, too, which makes his cold worse.
Sure, Mama, that's all I meant.
Dr. Hardy thinks it might be a bit of malarial fever he caught when he was in the tropics. If it is, quinine will soon cure it.
Dr. Hardy wouldn't believe a thing he said if he swore on a stack of Bibles. I know what doctors are. They're all alike. Anything. They don't care what. To keep you coming to them. What is it? What are you looking at? Is it my hair?
There is nothing wrong with your hair. The healthier and fatter you are, the vainer you become. You'll soon spend half the day preening before the mirror.
Oh, I really should have new glasses. My eyes are so bad now.
Your eyes are beautiful and well, you know it.
Oh, you mustn't be so silly, James, right in front of Jamie.
Oh, he's onto you, too. He knows this fuss about eyes and hair is only fishing for compliments. Oh. Hey, Jamie.
Yeah, you can't kid us, Mama.
Go along with the both of you. But I did truly have beautiful hair once, didn't I, James?
The most beautiful in the world.
Oh, it was a rare shade of reddish brown and so long it came down below my knees. You ought to remember it too, Jamie. It wasn't until after Edmund was born that I had a single gray hair. And then it began to turn white.
And that made it prettier than ever.
You listen to your father, Jamie, after 35 years of marriage. He isn't a great actor for nothing, is he? Mm-hmm. What's come over you, James? Are you pouring coals of fire on my head for teasing you about snoring? Well, then, I take it all back. It must have been only the foghorn I heard. I can't stay with you any longer, even to hear compliments. I must see the cook about dinner and the day's marketing. Oh, Bridget is so lazy. So sly. She begins telling me about her relative so that I can't get a word in edgeways and scold her. Oh, well, I might as well get it over. Now, you mustn't make Edmund work on the grounds with you, James. Remember, not that he isn't strong enough, but he'd perspire and he might catch cold.
You're a fine lunkhead. Haven't you any sense? The one thing to avoid is saying anything that would get him more upset over Edmund.
All right. Have it your way. I think it's a wrong idea to let Mama go on kidding herself. It'll only make the shock worse when she has to face it. Anyway, you can see she's deliberately fooling herself with this summer cold talk. She knows better.
Knows? Nobody knows yet.
Well, I do. I was with Edmund when he went to Doc Hardy on Monday. I heard him pull that touch of malaria stuff. He was stalling. That isn't what he thinks anymore. You know as well as I do. You talked to him when you went uptown yesterday, didn't you?
He couldn't say anything for sure yet. He's to phone me today before Edmund goes to him.
He thinks it's consumption, doesn't he, Papa?
He said it might be.
God damn it. It might never have happened if you'd sent him to a real doctor when he first got sick.
Well, what's the matter with Hardy? He's always been our doctor up here.
Everything's the matter with him. Even in this Hickburg, he's rated third class. He's a cheap old quack.
That's right. Run him down. Run down everybody. Everyone is a fake to you.
Hardy only charges a dollar. That's what makes you think he's a fine doctor.
If you mean I can't afford one of the fine society doctors who prey on the rich summer people...
But can't afford? You're one of the biggest property owners around here.
That doesn't mean I'm rich. It's all mortgage.
Because you always buy more instead of paying off mortgages. If Edmund was a lousy acre of land you wanted, the sky would be the limit.
That's a lie. And your sneers against Dr. Hardy, Elias.
Oh, all right. I'm a fool to argue. You can't change the leopard's spots.
No, you can't. You've taught me that lesson only too well. I've lost all hope you will ever change yours. You dare tell me what I can afford. You've never known the value of a dollar and never will. At the end of each season, you're penniless. You've thrown away your salary every week on whores and whiskey.
My salary? Christ.
It's more than you're worth, and you couldn't get that if it wasn't for me. If you weren't my son, there isn't a manager in the business who would give you a part. Your reputation stinks.
I never wanted to be an actor. You forced me onto the stage.
That's a lie. You made no effort to find anything else to do. You left it to me to get you a job, and I have no influence except in the theater. Forced you. You never wanted to do anything except loaf in barrooms. You'd have been content to sit back like a lazy lunk and sponge on me for the rest of your life. After all the money I wasted on your education, all you did was to get fired in disgrace from every college you went to.
Oh, for God's sake, don't drag up that ancient history.
It's not ancient history that you have to come home every summer to live on me.
I earn my board and lodging working on the grounds. It saves you hiring a man.
You have to be driven to do even that much. I wouldn't give a damn if you ever displayed the slightest sign of gratitude.
It's not true, Papa.
Ingratitude, the vilest weed that grows.
Oh, I could see that line coming. God, how many thousand times? All right, Papa, I'm a bum. Anything you like, so long as it stops this argument. Oh, what started us on this? Oh, Doc Hardy. When is he going to call you up about Edmund?
Around lunchtime. I couldn't have sent Edmund to a better doctor. Hardy's treated him whenever he was sick up here since he was knee-high. He knows his constitution as no other doctor could. It's not a question of my being miserly, as you'd like to make out. And what could the finest specialist in America do for Edmund after he deliberately ruined his health by the mad life he's led ever since he was fired from college? Even before that, when he was in prep school, he began dissipating and playing the Broadway sport to imitate you, when he's never had your constitution to stand it. You're a healthy hunk like me, or you were at his age. But he's always been a bundle of nerves like his mother. I've warned him for years his body couldn't stand it, but he wouldn't heed me, and now it's too late.
What do you mean, too late? You talk as if you thought...
Don't be a damn fool! I meant nothing but what's plain to everyone. His health has broken down, and he may be an invalid for a long time.
I know it's an Irish peasant idea. Consumption is fatal. It probably is when you live in a hovel over a bog, but over here, with modern treatment...
Don't I know that? What are you gabbing about anyway? And keep your dirty tongue off Ireland with your sneers about peasants and bogs and hovels. The less you say about Edmund's sickness, the better for your conscience. You're more responsible than anyone.
That's a lie. I won't stand for that, Papa.
It's the truth. He grew up admiring you as a hero. Fine example you set him. If you ever gave him advice except in the ways of rottenness, I've never heard of it. You made him old before his time, pumping him full of what you consider worldly wisdom, when he was too young to see that your mind was so poisoned by your own failure in life. You wanted to believe every man was a knave with his soul for sale, and every woman who wasn't a whore was a fool.
All right. I did put Edmund wise to things, but not until I saw he started to raise hell and knew he'd laugh at me if I tried the good advice brother stuff. All I did was make a pal of him and be absolutely frank so he'd learn from my mistakes that, well, that if you can't be good, you can at least be careful. That's a rotten accusation, Papa. You know how much the kid means to me and how close we've always been. Not like the usual brothers. I'd do anything for him.
I know you may have thought it was the best, Jamie. I didn't say you did it deliberately to harm
him. No, because it's damn rot. I'd like to see anyone influence Edmund more than he wants to be. What did I to do with all the crazy stunts he's pulled in the last few years? Working his way all over the map as a sailor and all that stuff. I thought it was a damn fool idea and I told him so. You can't imagine me getting fun out of being on a beach in South America or living in filthy dives drinking rutka, can you? No, thanks. I'll stick to Broadway. In a room with a bath and bars that sell bonded bourbon.
You and Broadway, it's made you what you are. Whatever Edmund's done, he's had the guts to go off on his own where he couldn't come whining to me the minute he was broke.
He's always come home broke finally, hasn't he? And what did his going away get him? Look at him now!
That's a lousy thing to say. I didn't mean that.
He's been doing well on the paper. I was hoping he'd found the work he wants to do at last.
A hicktown rag, whatever bull they hand you, they tell me he's a pretty bum reporter. If he weren't your son, they'd...
No, that's not true. He's certainly made a damn good start.
Yes, he's made a start. You used to talk about wanting to become a newspaper man, but you were never willing to start at the bottom. You expected...
Oh, for Christ's sake, Papa, can't you lay off me?
It's damnable luck Edmund should be sick right now. It couldn't have come at a worse time for him. Or for your mother. It's damnable she should have this to upset her just when she needs peace and freedom from worry. She's been so well in the 2 months since she came home. It's been heaven to me. This home has been a home again. But I don't need to tell you, Jamie.
No, I felt the same way, Papa.
Yes. She's a different woman entirely from the other times. She has control of her nerves, or she had until Edmund got sick. Now you can feel her growing tense and frightened underneath. I wish to God we could keep the truth from her. But we can't if he has to be sent to a sanatorium. What makes it worse is her father died of consumption. She worshipped him. And she's never forgotten. Yes, it will be hard for her, but she can do it. She has the willpower now. We must help her, Jamie, in every way we can.
Yeah, of course, Papa. Outside of nerves, she seems perfectly all right this morning.
Never better. She's full of fun and mischief. Why do you say seems? Why shouldn't she be all right? What the hell do you mean?
Oh, don't start jumping down my throat. God, Papa, this ought to be the one thing we can't talk over frankly without a battle.
I'm sorry, Jamie, but go on and tell me.
There's nothing to tell. I was all wrong. It's just that last night... Well, you know how it is. I can't forget the past. I can't help being suspicious any more than you can. And that's the hell of it. It makes it hell for Mama. She watches us watching her.
I know. Well, what was it? Can't you speak out?
Nothing, I tell you. Just my damn foolishness. Around 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up and heard her moving around in the spare room. Then she went to the bathroom. I pretended to be asleep. She stopped in the hall to listen as if she wanted to make sure I was.
For God's sake, is that all? She told me herself the foghorn kept her awake all night. And every night since Edmund's been sick, she's been up and down, going to his room to see how he was.
Yes, that's right. She did stop to listen outside his room. It was her being in the spare room that scared me. I couldn't help remembering that when she starts sleeping alone in there, it's always been a sign.
It isn't this time. It's easily explained. Where else could she go last night to get away from my snore?
Oh, God.
By God, how you live with a mind that sees nothing but the worst motives behind everything is beyond me.
Oh, don't pull that. I just said I was all wrong. Don't you suppose I'm as glad of that as you are?
I'm sure you are, Jamie. It would be like a curse. She can't escape if worry over Edmund... It was in her long sickness after bringing him into the world.
Well, she didn't have anything to do with it.
I'm not blaming her.
Well, then who are you blaming? Edmund for being born?
You damn fool. No one was to blame.
The bastard of a doctor was. From what Mama says, he was another cheap quack like Hardy.
You wouldn't pay for a first-rate...
That's a lie! So I'm to blame. That's what you're driving at, is it? You evil-minded loafer. Shh.
What are you two arguing about?
Oh, the same old stuff.
Oh, I heard you say something about a doctor and your father accusing you of being evil-minded.
Oh, that I was saying again, Doc Hardy isn't my idea of the world's greatest physician.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say he was either. Oh, that Bridget. I thought I'd never get away. She told me all about a second cousin in the police force in St. Louis. Oh, well, if you're going to work on the hedge, why don't you go? I mean, take advantage of the sunshine before the fog comes back. Because I know it will. Or I should say the rheumatism in my hands knows. It's a better weather prophet than you are, James. Oh, how ugly they are. You never believed they were once beautiful.
Now, Mary. None of that foolishness. They're the sweetest hands in the world. Come on, Jamie. Your mother's right to scold us. The way to start work is to start work. The hot sun will sweat some of that booze fat off your middle.
We're all so proud of you, Mama. So darn happy. But you still gotta be careful. You mustn't worry about Edmund. He'll be all right.
Of course he'd be all right. I don't know what you mean, warning me to be careful.
All right, Mama. I'm sorry I spoke.
I was just going upstairs to look for you.
Oh, I waited until they went out. I don't want to mix up in any arguments. I feel too rotten.
Oh, I'm sure you don't feel half as badly as you make out. You're such a baby. You like to get us worried, so we'll make a fuss over you. I'm only teasing, dear. I know how miserably uncomfortable you must be. But you feel better today, don't you? All the same, you've grown much too thin. Now, you need to rest all you can. Come, sit down, and I'll make you comfortable. There. That's it. There. How's that?
Oh, that's grand. Thanks, Mom.
Now, all you need is your mother to nurse you. Oh, big as you are, you're still the baby of the family to me, you know.
Oh, never mind me. You take care of yourself. That's all that counts.
Yeah, but I am, dear. Heavens, don't you see how fat I've grown? I'll have to have all my dresses let out. Oh. Well, we started clipping the hedge. Oh, poor Jamie. How he hates working in front where everyone passing can see him. Not that I want anything to do with them. I've always hated this town and everyone in it. You know that I never wanted to live here in the first place, but your father liked it and insisted on building this house, and I've had to come here every summer.
Well, it's better than spending the summer in a New York hotel, isn't it? And this town's not so bad. I like it well enough. I suppose because it's the only home we've had.
Well, I've never felt it was my home. It was wrong from the start. Everything was done in the cheapest way. Your father would never spend the money to make it right. It's just as well we haven't any friends here. I'd be ashamed to have him step in the door. But he's never wanted family friends. All he likes is to hobnob with men at the club or in a barroom. Jamie and you are the same way, but look, you're not to blame.
Oh, Mama, forget it. Who cares? Jamie and I would be bored stiff, and about the old man, what's the use of talking? You can't change him.
Don't call your father the old man. You should have more respect. I know it's useless to talk, but sometimes I feel so lonely.
Anyway, you gotta be fair, Mama. It may have been all his fault in the beginning, but you know that later on, even if he wanted to, we couldn't have had people here. You wouldn't have wanted them.
Don't. I can't bear having you remind me.
Don't take it that way, please, Mama. I'm trying to help. Because it's bad for you to forget.
Oh.
The right way is to remember, so you'll always be on your guard. You know what's happened before. God, Mama, you know I hate to remind you. I'm doing it because it's been so wonderful having you home the way you've been, and it would be terrible.
Please, dear, I know that you mean it for the best, but... I don't understand why you should suddenly say such things. What put it into your mind this morning?
Nothing, just... Because I feel rotten and blue, I suppose.
Tell me the truth. Why are you so suspicious all of a sudden?
I'm not.
Yes, you are. I can feel it. Your father and Jamie, too. Particularly Jamie.
Now, don't start imagining things, Mama.
It makes it so much harder. You know, living in an atmosphere of constant suspicion. Knowing everyone is spying on me and none of you believe in me or trust me.
That's crazy, Mama. We do trust you.
Some place I could go to get away for a day or even an afternoon. You know, some woman friend I could talk to. Not about anything so serious. Simply laugh and gossip and forget for a while. Someone besides the servants. Stupid Kathleen.
Stop it, Mama. You're getting yourself worked up over nothing.
Yeah, your father goes out. He meets his friends in barrooms or at the club. You and Jamie have the boys, you know. You go out, but I'm alone. I've always been... alone.
Come now, you know that's a fib. One of us always stays around to keep you company.
Because you're afraid to trust me alone. I insist you tell me why you act so differently this morning. Why you felt you had to remind me.
It's stupid. It's just that I wasn't asleep when you came in my room last night. You didn't go back to you and Papa's room. You went in the spare room for the rest of the night.
Because your father's snoring was driving me crazy. Oh, for heaven's sake, haven't I often used the spare room as my bedroom? But I see what you thought. That was when...
I didn't think anything.
So, you pretended to be asleep in order to spy on me.
No, I did it because I knew if you found out I was feverish and couldn't sleep, it would upset you.
Jamie was pretending to be asleep too, I'm sure, and I suppose your father...
Stop it, Mama.
Oh, I can't bear it, Edmund. When even you... It'd serve you all right if it was true.
Mama, don't say that. That's the way you talk when...
Stop suspecting me, please, dear. Listen, you hurt me. I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about you. That's the real reason. I've been so worried ever since you've been sick.
Oh, that's foolishness. You know it's only a bad cold.
Yes, of course I know that.
But listen, Mama... I want you to promise me that even if it should turn out to be something worse, you know I'll be all right again anyway. And you won't worry yourself sick. And you'll keep on taking care of yourself.
I won't listen when you're so silly. There's absolutely no reason to talk as if you expected something dreadful. Of course, I promise you. I give you my sacred word of honor. But I suppose you're remembering I promised before my word of honor.
No.
Look, I'm not blaming you, dear. How can you help it? How can any one of us forget? That's what makes it so bad for all of us. We can't forget.
Mama, stop it.
All right, dear. Oh, I didn't mean to be so gloomy. Don't mind me. Here, let me feel your head. Oh. Why, it's nice and cool. Oh, you certainly haven't any fever now.
Forget, it's you.
But I'm quite all right, dear. Except I naturally feel tired and nervous this morning after such a bad night. I really ought to go upstairs and lie down until lunchtime and take a nap. So what are you going to do? Read here? It would be much better for you to go out into the fresh air and sunshine. But don't get overheated, remember. Be sure and wear a hat. Or are you afraid to trust me alone?
No. Can't you stop talking like that? I think you ought to take a nap. I'll go down and help Jamie bear up. I love to lie in the shade and watch him work.
Edmund. It'll be lunchtime soon. Will I call your father Mr. Jamie, or will you?
You do it, Kathleen.
It's a wonder your father wouldn't look at his watch once in a while. I'll wager Mr. Jamie wouldn't miss the time to stop work and have his drop of whiskey if he had a watch to his name.
You'd better call my mother, too.
What for? She's always on time without any calling. God bless her, she has some consideration for the help.
She's been taking a nap.
She wasn't asleep when I finished my work upstairs a while back. She was lying down in the spare room with her eyes wide open. She's a terrible a headache, she said.
Oh, well then, just call my father.
It's no wonder my feet kill me each night. I won't be walking out into this heat and get sunstroke. I'll call from the port.
Mr. Tyrone! Mr. Jamie! It's time!
It's sneaking one, huh? Get out of the bluff, kid. You're rotten wrecked than I am.
Yeah, I grabbed one while the going was good.
Well, that's better. Why kid me? We're pals, aren't we?
I wasn't sure it was you coming.
I made the old man look at his watch. I was halfway up the walk when Kathleen burst into song, our wild Irish lark. She ought to be a train announcer.
That's what drove me to the drink. Why don't you sneak one in when you got the chance?
I was thinking of that little thing. The old man was talking to old Captain Turner. Yes, he's still at it. Oh. Another cover-up from his eagle eye. He memorizes the level of the bottle after every drink. There. That fixes it.
Oh, fine. You don't think it'll fool him, do you?
Oh, maybe not. But he can't prove it. I hope he doesn't forget lunch listening to himself talk. I'm hungry. That's what I hate about working down in front. He puts on an act for every damn fool that comes along.
Well, you're in luck to be hungry. The way I feel, I don't care if I ever eat again.
Listen, kid, you know me. I've never lectured you, but Dr. Hardy was right when he told you to cut out the red eye.
Oh, I'm going to after he hands me the bad news this afternoon. A few more before then won't make any difference.
Well, I'm glad you got your mind prepared for bad news. It won't be such a jolt. No, I mean, it's a sense you're really sick, and it would be wrong to kid yourself.
Why? Well, what do you think it is?
Oh, well, how would I know? I'm no doc. Where's Mama?
Upstairs.
And when did she go up?
Oh, about the time I came down to the hedge, I guess. She said she was going to take a nap.
You didn't tell me.
Why should I? What about it? She was tired. She didn't get much sleep last night.
I know she didn't.
That damn foghorn kept me awake, too.
She's been upstairs alone all morning, huh? You haven't seen her?
No, I've been reading here. I wanted to give her a chance to sleep.
Is she coming down to lunch?
Of course.
No, of course about it. She might not want any lunch. Or she might start having most of her meals alone upstairs. That's what's happened, hasn't it?
Cut it out, Jamie. Can't you think anything? You're all wrong to suspect anything. Kathleen saw her not long ago. Mama didn't tell her she wouldn't be down for lunch.
Then she wasn't taking a nap.
Not right then, but she was lying down, Kathleen said.
In the spare room?
Yes, for Pete's sake, what of
it? You damn fool! Why did you leave her alone so long? Why didn't you stick around?
Because she accused me and you and Papa of spying on her all the time and not trusting her. She made me feel ashamed. I know how rotten it must be for her. And she promised on her sacred word of honor that...
You ought to know that doesn't mean anything.
It does this time.
That's what we thought the other times.
Listen, kid, I know you think I'm a cynical bastard. But remember, I've seen a lot more of this game than you have. You never knew what was really wrong until you were in prep school. Papa and I kept it from you. But I was wise 10 years or more before we had to tell you. I know the game backwards, and I've been thinking all morning of the way she acted last night when she thought we were asleep. I haven't been able to think of anything else. And now you tell me she got you to leave her alone upstairs?
She didn't! You're crazy!
All right, kid, don't start a battle with me. God, I hope as much as you do I'm crazy.
I've been as happy as hell because I really begun to believe that this time... She's coming downstairs.
Well, you win on that, I guess. I'm a damn suspicious louse.
Damn, I wish I'd grabbed another drink.
Me too.
He mustn't cough like that. It's bad for your throat. You don't want to get a sore throat on top of a cold.
Oh, I know, Mama. How about you? Do you feel rested?
Yes, ever so much better. I've been lying down ever since you went out. It's what I needed after such a restless night. I don't feel nervous now.
Oh, that's fine.
Good heavens. Now down in the mouth you look, Jamie. What's the matter now?
Nothing.
Oh, I'd forgotten you'd been working in the front hedge. That accounts for your sinking in the dumps, doesn't it?
If you want to think so, Mama.
Well, that's the effect it always has, isn't it? Oh, what a big baby you are, isn't he, Edmund?
He's certainly a fool to care what anyone thinks.
Yes, the only way is to make yourself not care. Where is your father? I heard Kathleen call him.
Oh, gabbing with old Captain Turner, Jamie says. Oh. He'll be late, as usual.
Oh, I've told Kathleen time and time again she must go wherever he is and tell him. Oh, the idea of screaming as if this were a cheap boarding house.
She's down there now, interrupting the famous, beautiful voice. She should have more respect.
Ah, it's you who should have more respect. Stop sneering at your father. I won't have it. Everyone else admires him. And you should be the last one to sneer. You who, thanks to him, have never had to work hard in your life. Remember, your father is getting old, Jamie. You really ought to show more consideration.
I ought to? Oh, dry up, Jamie. And for Pete's sake, Mama, why jump on Jamie all of a sudden?
Because he's always sneering at someone else, always looking for the worst weakness in everyone.
And I'm hungry. I wish the old man would get a move on. It's a rotten trick the way he keeps meals waiting and then beefs because they're spoiled.
Yes, yes, it's very trying, Jamie. You don't know how trying. You don't have to keep house with summer servants who don't care because they know it isn't a permanent position. But you've heard me say this 1,000 times. So is he. He goes in one ear and out the other. He thinks money spent on a home is money wasted. He's lived too much in hotels. Well, never the best hotels, of course. Second-rate hotels. He doesn't understand a house. He doesn't feel at home in it. And yet he wants a home. He's even proud of having this shabby place. He loves it here. It's really funny. When you come to think of it, he's a peculiar man.
What makes you ramble on like that, Mama?
Lunch is ready, oh. Ma'am. I went down to Mr. Tyrone like you ordered, and he said he'd come right away, but he kept on talking to that man, telling him of the time when...
Well, all right, Kathleen. Tell Bridget I'm sorry, but she'll have to wait a few minutes until Mr. Tyrone is here.
Yes, Ma'am.
Damn it, why don't you go ahead without him? He's told us to.
He doesn't mean it. Don't you know your father yet? He'd be so terribly hurt.
I'll make him get a move on.
Hey! Hey! Papa! Come on, we can't wait all day!
Why do you stare at me like that, Jamie?
You know.
I don't know.
Oh, for God's sakes, do you think you can fool me, Mama? I'm not blind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No?
Oh.
You... Take a look at your eyes in the mirror.
I got Papa moving. He'll be here in a minute. What happened? What's the matter, Mama?
Your brother ought to be ashamed of himself. He's insinuating I don't know what.
God damn you!
Oh, my God! Here! Stop this at once! Do you hear me?
He's a liar. It's a lie, isn't it, Mama?
What is a lie? Now, you're talking in riddles like Jamie. Edmund, don't. Look at... There's your father coming up the stairs now. I must tell Bridget.
Well?
Well, what? You're a liar.
Here's Papa. I hope he loosens up with the old bottle.
Sorry I'm late. Captain Turner stopped to talk, and once he starts gabbing, you can't get away from
him. You mean once he starts listening? It's all right. The level in the bottle hasn't changed.
I wasn't.